He is now going to violate. Is this guy for real? That's up for you to decide. You know, our motto is, we present them, you pick them. Phil Snyder discontinued his employment with a thing called our government this year. April was the month. He is now going to violate the oath of secrecy he took when he went to work on these things. And he will tell you what he's done, how many years he was there, some of the places he's been, and some of the things he's done, and some of the things that have happened to him. He has a ton of information. His workshop will be tomorrow afternoon. I want you to welcome now Phil Snyder, who has gone through quite a bit, which we'll maybe tell later, to be with us today. Welcome, Phil, from Oregon, please.
Greetings. My first part of the talk today, because there's so much of it, will basically point out some of the earlier confirmations that UFOs were well known by our federal government structure, our military services, even before 1947. In fact, in 1947, after the Roswell incident, there were some congressional hearings on subject, and the military basically stonewalled the whole thing and said, well, we don't know of any kinds of things like this or stories like this that happened. So they perjured themselves, because the pictures I have up here, if I may show you, this one especially is a large mothership or UFO in the scene. And this is the original. This is the original jargon, or the original language used by the Joint Army Navy Task Force during the Bikini Island atomic bomb test. There were four major explosions. Most people think there were only two or maybe one. There were four. The whole area was surrounded by a shallow underwater. UFOs were seen leaving the ocean all the time. They were harassing the natives, and there was all kinds of other problems. So I'm sure the area was picked to basically eradicate the discs, which posed a threat to the planet at that particular time. We were at a very vulnerable time. We just finished fighting World War II, and all the countries were basically in a state of turmoil as far as being bombed into the Stone Age. But so these saucers were preparing for some kind of major attack. And we might remember the statement made by General Douglas MacArthur in 1946, or January, I believe, of 1946. He said, the next war that we may fight won't be from planet Earth. The next world war will be from principalities as well as conditions from outside the Earth. And this was definitely true, especially in Bikini, because in these pictures, these streaks here, all these pictures, by the way, have all been confirmed as having UFOs in the picture. They've all been done by computer grain analysis and other kinds of things like that. This is the original language of each photograph and the original release dates. These were secret up until about a year ago. I have these pictures that were willed to me by my father when he passed away several years ago. I basically had to have them cleared, to which they were. Some of them were declassified as early as 1950. They were fairly rare at that time, I'd imagine. But in this particular photograph, we have one main ship. It's over 300 feet long, 220 feet wide by 220 feet high. And it's flying about, oh, 3/4 of a mile off this U.S. Navy plane's wingtip. That's a drone aircraft taking pictures of the A-bomb at a distance. And it says here, flying discs leaving ground zero, joint Army-Navy Task Force 1 photo. And it has a file number and released 12 July 1946. Now, if you remember, there was quite a controversy concerning flying discs. They were called Foo Fighters, other kinds of things like that. I'm sure there are people in this crowd that was, that fought during World War II, maybe even flown during World War II, and probably seen such. It was a disturbing thing for a pilot to see something that could go 5 or 6 or maybe even 10 times faster than he could, and he knew that it wasn't some other country's weapon like Germany or Japan. They just didn't have anything like that. Okay, we have another photograph. We have flying discs in neutron flash cloud, joint Army-Navy Task Force 1 photograph. And here are three discs off left wingtip, official U.S. Navy photograph. This one's got an unknown release date. And here's discs attempting to leave ground zero, second A-bomb blast, joint Army-Navy Task Force 1 photograph, released 2 August 46. And here are discs leaving ocean from ground zero, second A-bomb blast, joint Army-Navy Task Force 1 photograph. These photographs were probably the first ever shown to the public regarding what the military, U.S. military, knew about flying discs, especially after they perjured themselves in front of the United States Congress in 1947. They absolutely lied. They said that they didn't know anything about the subject. That was a bunch of rumor. Now, if I can go to the second... And here we have, once again, Operation Crossroads, Ground Zero, 1946. Here's a picture of Bikini, where it is. It's about 1,800 miles away from the Hawaiian Islands, somewhere like that. There's a, and of course, they put everything from garbage scows to ships to captured armament just to see the effect of the A-bomb. We have numerous discs attempting escape. So they knew that they were escaping, and they probably knew that they were going to be vaporized by the atomic bomb blast. Joint Army-Navy Task Force 1 photograph and release date of 2 August 1946. And here's time rift and discs at ground zero. Now, time rift is where an A-bomb literally rips apart the fabric of time itself. And that was also a joint Army-Navy Task Force 1 photograph. Of course, we have here, we have some young sailors watching the A-bomb blast from about 12 miles out getting an atomic suntan. I don't know if they're still around, but hope they are. And here's a rare overview of the atomic cloud taken by a remote control aircraft. And remote control anything in 1946 was a rarity. Especially a large aircraft. Flying discs attempting to escape from ground zero, once again, joint Army-Navy Task Force 1 photograph. I have over 7,800 photographs my father left me. They appear as small black and white dots, and they're inside the cloud itself. Throughout the picture, I'll leave them up here so you can take a closer look if you'd like. Now we get to a slightly different subject. Operation Invisibility, the Rainbow Project. Al Bielek sitting back there. He's a sole survivor, one of the sole survivors of the Philadelphia experiment, where I believe, if I got it right, the U.S. Navy actually succeeded in developing a device within a Navy ship to cause it to disappear out of the scope of reality, physically disappear. Well, here's a time variance briefing aboard the USS Eldridge in one of its ready rooms. And it's an Army Photographic Agency. Release date is unknown. Personnel attending briefing is, now you've probably often heard Frank Strange's mention, perhaps, of a fellow that is kind of controversial. His name was Valiant or Val Thor. That was a name tacked onto a supposed captured alien who supposedly got us involved with undoing alien technology and converting it over to our own technology. Incidentally, this particular fellow is Valiant Thor. There's my father in the background. Here is Anatoly Yaglu, and Jack Parsons and other people are in the background. And that's Naval Scientific Operations photograph. Once again, here's Valiant Val Thor with an unknown OSS agent, Philadelphia Navy Yard, August 1943. This man, by the way, is still employed at the Pentagon. He lives in some particularly special place in and around the Pentagon. At one time, he lived in the third sub-basement. He had a whole floor to himself. And from what I understand from my father, Otto Oscar Schneider, he hasn't basically aged in 58 years. So he has a rather nice long lifespan. Now this one is the bomb blast of Nagasaki, Japan. It's a rather famous photograph, Operation Overlord. There were over 180,000 plus casualties. The famous part of the photograph, of course, is the clouds that are forming the updraft have formed a human face in the bottom. I think everybody who's seen that has seen a picture of that angry-looking human face, kind of peculiar. This at one time was secret, and it's been professionally scratched out with the so-called, end quote, broom. And this is just after the blast, 16 ten-thousandths of a second after the blast, basically. Anyway, there's the photograph, and that was one of the bombs going off. And once again, there's all kinds of interesting objects in the photograph. Leave it to you or what they may be. They were never identified as discs, but some of them look like discs streaking out at high speed. Can't be certain. And here we have a series of pictures of all the different F-117As. Here's an aerial photograph of Groom Lake. Here's a B-2. According to a gentleman up here who just happened to have told me, the Aurora doesn't exist. I've seen something fly that flies awful rapid, leaving a kind of a donut on a rope signature behind it and making a series of sputtering sounds that are sonic booms, like 10 or 15 of them in a row. So it's got to be some form of transatmospheric plane. Here's a picture of Paul Benowitz. Paul Benowitz ran Thunder Scientific Corporation. He was going to go public with the entire information about Kirtland Air Force Base and UFOs and that kind of thing like that. He was psychiatrically abused. He was against his will. He was put in a mental institution, and his brain basically made a vegetable of him. And his brother and sister spent a lot of money getting him out of that situation. He can't even write his own name. He was a brilliant physicist, worked for both the Navy as well as the Air Force, and other things go on and on and on. And these kind of atrocities must stop. because secrecy is one thing, but when you use federal law to subvert really good people, then that gets to be another question indeed. Here's my best friend, Ron Lee Rummel. He wrote a number of interesting articles called Alien Digest, which I've been on the Fox TV show Encounters, whose death was called a suicide. It's now being reinvestigated as a homicide. Two of three people have been implicated. One was a U.S. Navy, got two in custody. One was an NSA and one was an ATF fellow, or they were retired, and they didn't like what this person was doing, and so I guess they decided to get rid of him. He's my best friend. I grew up with him. I knew him for the better part of 30 years. He's about the most honest person. He came clean with everything. If he didn't know it 100%, he didn't talk about it. He worked at Groom Lake. That other people have poo-pooed that, but he is found, like Bob Lazar, he was found in a telephone directory, the Los Alamos telephone directory. So, regardless of what we may say, this subject can be dangerous to our health if we don't watch out. I'm here for one sole purpose. Our federal government structure has said we're not going to allow this out to the public for fear it might panic you. I don't see a person in this crowd that probably already hasn't learned enough about the UFO field to have gone out and had a mental breakdown. I don't believe in some 39 talks that I've given, some internationally, I don't believe I've ever run across a single person who couldn't take the information that came up to me or had left crying in tears. They were all happy to hear that these kind of things did happen, that the public has been waiting consciously and anxiously for the better part of 60 years for this kind of information, and our military continues to hold it secret and above the law, and it's got to go. It's wrong. This kind of punitive policy is what's wrecking our country right now. We have a federal government totally out of control, totally disobeying every constitutional law we have, and they're just running roughshod over its people. And somewhere down the line, I believe our founding fathers one time told us, they said, they warned us of this. They warned us not to bring out this beast. And if it ever did happen, we are to overturn it. Now, does that mean that we have to take these people on a one-to-one? They got missiles and tanks, and all we've got is an occasional pop gun? Come on. But it does look like, especially in light of recent events with the Waco hearings and others, total whitewash, we are getting nothing but lies and innuendo from our officials who are supposed to tell the truth. By the way, an official who lies to Congress, not only guilty of lying to Congress, contempt of Congress, they're guilty of treason. And I don't see any people being lined up and arrested for this travesty. I haven't seen it. Not at all. What's really peculiar about the government structure, a lot of these areas like Groom Lake, they're military reservations. Military law and civilian law are two different things. Military law completely sidesteps the U.S. Constitution. Civilian law generally obeys or goes by it. A lot of these reservations, too, are on Indian reservations or adjacent to Indian reservations. And once again, the U.S. Constitution doesn't apply. So when we think very carefully now exactly where we're going, we must be told the truth. All of us in this room, in some capacity, has to, whether we write our congresspeople, whether we talk to people, whether we have a tea party and talk to them, we have to and we must insist upon the truth by our elected officials, and we must also insist that they take an oath that if they lie, they get impeached. And I have a number of other artifacts up here on the table, which I'll show you. I'll let each and every one of you file by and take a look at them. I'd appreciate it, however, if you don't handle them, you can look at them. Inside of these two small Ziploc bags are some metallic fragments. I was given this when I was 14 years old. My dad was visiting in England with Sir Johnny Rawlins. At that time, he was a naval sea lord in Britain. And he was well aware of crashed saucer remains. He had collected a number of artifacts, and I, like a 14-year-old boy, I asked him, I said, gee, can I have a piece? He says, sure, no problem. My dad protested violently, but it didn't work. He says, sure, I'll give you a little piece. And there they are, and of course, the way they finally broke the skin of this particular craft, they dropped it in a bath of liquid nitrogen, that kind of, and then they used either a sledgehammer or some striking device, and they broke it apart. But this is composed of different elements not found in the correct elemental way on Earth. At that time, couldn't have been manufactured by any country. Now we have the RAM coating off of certain aircraft. A buddy of mine sent them to me. They're called Aurora Drops. They kind of look like lava. The aircraft literally drips this material off itself when it comes in after a long flight, the edges of which and some of the more vulnerable points literally drip this material on the end quote tarmac or the cement mac, the runway. It's scooped up and I don't know what they do with it. Anyway, here are some of the pieces of that. Incidentally, this particular coating was, see all this, just the fact that we have these kind of aircraft out of basically nowhere was a combination of a lot of geniuses working together in one end quote skunk works operation. Believe it or not, from what I hear, that these two planes were actually refused some 10 years earlier. Oh, they're not going to fly. That's a bunch of poppycock. Why don't you go back to your drawing board and do something else? But it's not that I'm looking at. It's the skin, and it's also the airframe. The airframes are made of metals not found on the Earth and cannot be made on the Earth. They're composite metals. Composite metals are nothing new. But when you combine them with elements higher than 109, then you get into some peculiar aspects indeed. You get into mixing basically element 109, and at my table I have a revised list of the elements, 140 of them now, of which some 30 of them are alien or have been captured from alien technology down to alien spacecraft of various sorts and so-called alien, captured alien technology. Anyway, when you combine element 109 through 115 with certain of Earth's elements, it becomes kind of like a powdered metal and becomes extremely light, extremely hard, tensile, 20 to 50 times harder than a diamond, quite malleable and flexible. Once again, these two aircraft. And I'm not the only one talking about this. There are people that worked in the Skunk Works projects that have talked about this for years. So I'm not the only one. You can poo-poo maybe one or two, but no, you can't poo-poo 20 or 30 people. And basically, I'm here to point out that these kind of things were from crashed flying saucers originally, and we adapted the technology to fit our own technological environment. I might also want to put by something. For every 12 calendar months that goes by regularly in the regular world, there's about 44.2 years of military technology. Maybe this is why, for instance, in 1943, they were able to U.S. Navy and other operations were able to cause a number of ships to disappear. The reason, of course, was if we could get a disappearing ship, we could avoid all the destructive elements of the U-boat attacks, and we could win the war faster, and that's quite plausible. Here's a piece of titanium metal, and it has a number of lighter composites. Lighter composites in it. It's extremely hard. It approaches the hardness of a diamond. It's used in the airframes of the F-117A and the B-2 bomber. And anyway, this kind of metal is a pretty hard customer indeed. It's it kind of rings like a bell. It's also, you can't rust it. It's basically impervious to laser attack, laser equipment. Charged particle beam will wipe it out, but a laser doesn't do much to it at all. Here is a alien converted over technology. It's a hunk of niobium titanium rhenium steel. It's in a scalenohedral crystalline form. And these bars supposedly are formed in outer space. I'm not privy to how they're formed that way. I've never been in or seen those kind of operations, but they are nonetheless formed that way. I've heard this from several different people. Here is a lighter than lithium ceramic metal. It's used somehow in the internal parts of both the jet engines as well as the grid bed nuclear engines of some of the advanced craft that are being flown out of some of these secret areas. Here's most interesting of all, element 123, Myrinite. It's an orange gold metal with in Earth there's only 6 basic crystal systems. This has a totally different crystal system from any of them. And it's about twice as heavy as uranium. Here's a ceramic metal in this tabular or scalenohedral crystalline form. It is used on some of the RAM coatings or as part of the RAM coatings of some of these type of aircraft. And here is an interesting fossil. It was found in around Groom Lake, Tikaboo Valley, and it has the same crystalline structure as an instantly petrified piece of material found at either Hiroshima or Nagasaki, like plant life. They had similar garlic and other kinds of plant life that were instantly crystallized subatomically, and this is the same thing, but there's only one problem. This is about 30 to 35 million years old. Or who's playing around with atomic technology then? This is exactly the same crystalline structure as found on the fossil, instantly petrified fossil life or plant life, both Hiroshima and Nagasaki. So you might ask, who's playing around that time? This too is also a piece of agatized. It's an agatized ball fungi from a cave, and once again, something is that perfectly cut it, probably very rapidly cut it. It hasn't been fractured and re-cemented itself, but it's been perfectly cut in such a way that it got instantly petrified with a similar crystalline structure, and this is quite a bit older. This is about 85 million years. Once again, who was playing around with atomic technology 85 million years ago, what we now know as Brazil. Here's a piece of petrified wood from the John Day fossil beds. Some years ago I found this, and in around that area, and it shows this hole all the way around it, or this cutting mark is done by insect damage. But if you look at the fibers carefully, you'll notice that they're all bent inward. It's like something is is very thin, is cut right through it, and the plant doesn't know it's been chopped in half yet, and some of the sugar in it has crystallized and become agate, perfectly preserved piece of oak limb. And once again, it's about 100 million years old, and once again, it's an out-of-place artifact or unanswerable thing. And here's a picture. It was given to me by a lady who lives in Alaska. It's an out-of-place artifact that found in one of six found in the western states. This one's found in southern Idaho, and it's believed to be a magnetic confinement device for plasmic experiment, or maybe the manufacturer of fuels. Anyway, it's of a metal not found on Earth. It was 600 feet deep. Oh, what did they find? They ended up digging this thing up. Of course, it's in U.S. Army archives. And once again, we have our government says, no, I don't think this becomes public domain. I think we're going to take care of it. And they've made up our mind for us. Well, these are just some of the objects that I've collected over the time. Basically, I'd like to mention that that there aren't enough people talking about things that shouldn't be held secret. Things of the ancient atomic age that are still held secret after 50 and almost 60 years. Flying discs that have been seen basically in the United States since 1909. The first one was recorded by the U.S. Army Cavalry in 1909 in southern Utah area. They didn't know what to make of them then, I guess. That kind of scared the heck out of them. But once again, these things are held in secrecy or above top secret because we have allowed a federal government structure to say, well, or rule that we are not responsible and they're totally responsible. I think it's quite the other way around. I think we're more than responsible and they're totally out of touch with us. Case in point, the Roswell incident. The Roswell incident, it was stonewalled. Basically, the Joint Military Congress, as they call it, got together and said, no, I don't think you as a senator, there were four independent senators that wanted the information out in the public domain, and these individuals within the various military structures said, no, we're not going to allow it out, and you as a senator are declared an incompetent person or not a responsible person anyway and don't need to have this information. In other words, you don't need to know because you're stupid. Well, unfortunately, that doesn't wash with me. It doesn't wash with a lot of you, maybe millions of us. What we have to do is we have to inform our officials, vigorously inform them, that they are public servants, that they are not our slaves, but they are public servants in public service, that the rules and regulations that they've made in the past have to be changed. Once again, we've allowed too few people to rule over us like kings and queens. Now, when a senator or a president is told, no, you're not going to tell this to the public, and maybe it's quite possible that President Kennedy, John F. Kennedy, was, I've heard the story, he was going to come clean with the whole UFO structure and do away with certain government agencies that were not only a waste of the taxpayers' money, but had basically not a use except to subvert the government as we know it. He was murdered. He was killed, assassinated. And of course, once again, we got the local lie and innuendo to the point where we're made to believe something happened when a lot of us believe that that's probably not what happened or what occurred. And the list could go on and on. And so the basis of my talk is to show you that this kind of technology has existed and probably has existed on this planet for thousands of years. And how did the ancients treat it? The ancients thought they were gods, and they either worshipped them or basically people that knew them were privileged, that knew of them. They wrote deep, like Ezekiel, for instance. He wrote down, he must have been a scientist type. He would have made a great nuclear scientist, I think, because he wrote everything down just as he saw it. It's an amazing pair of two eyes that fellow had, because he wrote everything down roughly 3,500 years ago in perfect detail. And of course, we have Egyptian pharaohs who saw them and wrote them down also. And throughout all of history, this has occurred. I think it's time we, as a concerned public in mass, demand that this information be made public. It will not hurt us a bit. And by the way, I believe George Washington one time was caught saying, an uninformed people is a people, is a group of people in slavery. Now, that was said over 200 years ago, and it's very true today. We have been led in the dark, and I believe if we really seriously get out en masse and demand to see more than just the Roswell incident, some of these other incidents that have happened 50 and 40 and 30 and maybe even as close as 10 or 15 years ago, if we get out and see for ourselves and make our own judgment and take our own responsibility rather than have the government do it for us. Don't you think that's a better way to do business? Oaths of secrecy are illegal. It is a travesty beyond belief when you are forced to sign an oath of secrecy saying that if you reveal this, you're going to be guilty of treason or thereabouts. This has nothing to do with treason. This has everything to do with truth. This has everything to do with how we as informed and concerned citizenry of these wonderful United States, and I've been in over 70 countries and I haven't found a place better yet, can be informed and knowledgeable. If there is such thing as an attack on planet Earth by a number of these specific alien races and crafts, or if they're benevolent and they're all being shot down by the military or all being basically spirited off the military bases, and I help build underground military bases. I work for EG&G, Morrison Knudsen, Bechtel, Page & Page, and a host of other construction outfits, not counting what I did in Vietnam as a construction worker. And I can tell you for a fact that some of these bases that are built underground are scary indeed because, and Al Bielek will mention, he's been on a number of the high-speed trains that link for thousands of miles these different underground bases. Now, the black budget as we know it garners over $500 billion a year in secret money to build and keep building underground bases and the like. It's $1.023 trillion every 2 years. That's roughly $500 billion a year. I think we could better use that money in the public sector. We could better use that money training people so that we could become more competitive in a more competitive world rather than just freely hand it over and willy-nilly to some government group who's just going to spend it on building underground bases. The average underground base, for instance, is 4.25 cubic miles hollowed out underground. A cubic mile is a mighty big space. Tunneling machines, and Richard Souter, PhD, wrote a recent book this year about underground tunnels and bases. What is the government trying to hide? Now, I can see a few of them built in case there's a nuclear war so that the president and a few of his entourage can escape Holocaust and somehow, hopefully, reappear when it's all over. But when you're talking about 129 of these across the country, the size of the 48 states, they've been building them day and night unceasingly since 1940, I would have to say that this is not an exercise in prudence. This is an exercise in subversion. Subversion is a form of treason. Now, I haven't been one to make policy, but I think if we all got together and did some serious questioning, I think we could get to the bottom of all this. And I know also that if our government really did know fully well about Foo Fighters, it's all been written down, the answers point to yes, and flying saucers, detailed in every degree as early as 1946, this is almost 1996, 50 years hence, and we're still being given the snow job. Oh, it's a weather balloon, or it's dust on the lens, or it's your imagination. You know how many people in the United States have seen a UFO? Believe in UFOs? According to the Roper Report, which is a reporting agency part of the Remington Rand Corporation, 106 million people in this country have seen them. Now, I can believe a few people might be crackpot-ish and promote these kind of stories and that kind of thing, but 106 million people? And then worldwide, we're talking about over 1 billion people have seen them, not counting about what's happening down in Mexico City as I speak. They're just coming out of the woodwork out there. People are filming it with their video cameras. And in Mexico, it is not a crime to ask a government official what a UFO is. In this country, it's still a crime. In fact, it's a felony. If I decided to ask somebody who's perhaps an Air Force general, and that Air Force general or officer decided to divulge that information, not only would he be guilty, but I'd be guilty for hearing it. Now, somewhere, that isn't what I heard what the United States is supposed to be like. I always heard that we were supposed to be a freedom-loving people and not subjected by our dictators, as I call them, or our politicians who've now decided to run themselves to such a point that they're kings and queens over us. I believe that we can still turn this country around, but we're going to have to start asking questions, and we're going to have to start demanding answers and demand. If it takes class action lawsuit, which I'm already engaged in doing because of these pictures, because if the government lied to Congress in 1947, a class action lawsuit by one or more people would bring out a lot more information. Another thing, a lot of this information is actually out to the public. But once again, if you use the Library of Congress, you have to have a special card presented to you by the Navy Criminal Investigation Service, just in case you decide to commit a crime, or the FBI, or something like that. Once again, you're suspected of being a criminal when you're doing your homework. I don't think this is America. I'm not hearing this right. I'm not hearing to the point where this kind of information that isn't coming out is hurting us in any way. We're not babies. We're individuals. A lot of us are grown-ups. Most of us in this room are. And I have to say one thing. Most of us, I'd say 99% of us in this room, are responsible people. Most of us are professional people. Most of us are up to our neck in innuendo on why in the heck this happens. Once again, back to the Library of Congress, a lot of these titles for UFO information are carefully hidden. They're in stack call rooms. You need special IDs and this kind of thing. Is this what I'm hearing? Is this prudent? Is this freedom? No.
Phil, could you share with us your personal experience building like down below 51 in Dalston, so forth?
Yeah. My personal experience started better part of 17 years ago when I worked for Morrison Knudsen. We worked in and around Area 51. We tunneled out better than 9 cubic miles underground. We built just about everything that so-called black jets or housed on, a fly out of, at bases, barracks, you name it, it was all there. Area 51 is a, it's, by the way, Area 51 is a bit, we've been told recently about 2 years ago, it doesn't exist. By the way, if it doesn't exist and I'm talking about it, I guess I'm not guilty of anything if I divulge the information. Well, it does exist. It's right here. In fact, on this map, there's Groom Lake. There's S4 near on the other side of Lathrop Wells. There's R4808E, all the mountain chains and everything like that. That's an aerial map of 1966 realm that was given to me.
Where's Groom Lake?
Groom Lake is in Nevada. It's just north of Las Vegas. It's one of the largest military, it's part of the Nellis Air Force Base Tonopah Test Range complexes. It has recently taken the mountaintops, like Whitesides Mountain, so people can't climb up there with their spy glasses and look at new kinds of aircraft. They thought they were seeing UFOs. Maybe they are. People have sworn, many people, dozens of people, that we are now flying captured UFOs that are repaired, that are made whole, made for us to fly. Whatever is occurring, is this what I'm hearing, that once again our government says another big lie? It says, well, this base doesn't exist. Oh, really? Huh, that's interesting. Over 10,000 people work there from time to time on shifts, most of them in the cover of darkness. Most flights of the F-117A fly out of there. So it doesn't exist, does it?
How many years did you work there?
I worked 11 of 17 years in black projects in and around Groom Lake.
Bill, you also share with us how they build those tunnels.
The tunnels are built basically with not your usual conventional boring machines, but the tunnels are built with a plasmic laser that literally melts through the rock up to 7 miles a day. It vaporizes the rock material, enough of the rock material is deflagrated and melted, and it's used as a coating of the wall that's behind it. It's a very sophisticated piece of equipment. It's been around for 25 years. So when we say the old drilling equipment, we see all the ads for the old drilling equipment, that's stuff that was around in World War II and between World War I and World War II. Once again, we're been sold down the river and lied to, saying that that's the only equipment around capable of doing such. It's old poppycock. New kinds of equipment. They have ways of completely using shape charge blasting. My basic job was to crawl down in a hole, pick up rock samples, bring them up to the surface, analyze the grain structure, and analyze what kind of explosive to use, if an explosive was needed, to hollow out or build a specific military base. And I am fully aware of what explosives can do and how strong they are. And I might want to also add that that the recent explanation of the Oklahoma City bombing by our local federal government was a total whitewash. Fertilizer bomb could not have done the damage. It only is composed of 20,000 pounds per square inch pressure maximum. The damage that was done to the Alfred P. Murrah building in Oklahoma City exceeded 170,000 pounds per square inch, and that had to have been something, some form of other weapon or other bomb. A number of engineers have also written in and said that this is what we're saying, we want you now to start telling us the truth. Of course, it hasn't happened. Sad, but that's the way it goes. In working on these bases, I worked also in throughout the United States. I worked in Dulce, New Mexico. In 1979, I was lowered down a hole to analyze more rock samples, and we had found a whole cache of underground alien involvement, to which I was absolutely petrified, of what you might call a large gray. A number of Secret Service and Delta Force people, some 66 of them lost their lives that day, all because the government didn't tell them the truth about what was going on. And so once again we were uninformed and we were attacked and we were butchered by an entity that's highly evil indeed. I have suffered wounds from it since then, and I was basically incinerated or shot in the stomach or in the side area of my ribs here, and it basically opened me up like a kind of like a sardine can and destroyed my rib cage and basically cooked my guts. And I was lucky to make it out alive. I had killed two of them. I carried a small pistol with me, a little Walther PPK pistol with a 9-shot clip. And I had time to empty one clip into two of them, and they are mortal. They do go down. However, do we, as prudent citizens of these United States, if there's a real alien threat out there, I'd like to know about it. I think you'd like to know about it, because we could prepare ourselves for the event if something like this is happening. I'm not one to panic people, but I'll tell you right now, I'm scared to death of what's down below our feet, because we have not been told the truth at all. There's no hint. All this is kept top secret, above top secret, which is hogwash. And once again, we've been led down the path, and basically we're cannon fodder. We're not to be told these kind of things. It's above the line of secrecy of this kind of thing. Well, this secrecy is choking the very life of our country, and we need to reassess. As individuals, as well as the government, we need to reassess exactly what's going on, and we need to ask first in a nicer way and then in a more forceful way, and maybe in the worst way possible. It looks like if we can't get any results, it does look like we're going to have to throw the bums out. I don't advocate such things. I think this kind of revolution kind of thing, this hype I keep hearing about revolution, is it always ends up killing the wrong people. But it does, it's every day goes by, it's pointing to the fact that we're going to have to be the militia. All of us are going to have to be in some capacity, some form of militia, to get these crumb bums off our back. Because no matter what we talk about, no matter what we ask of them, they are not obeying. They are not complacent. They're not complying with our simple demands.
Phil.
Yeah.
In the few minutes we got left, I want you to share what happened to you, and then I want Mike to authenticate that he has seen your wounds.
All right. At Dulce, New Mexico, I had this kind of like a charged particle beam device, and it hit me in the chest and fused and cauterized my ribs and bones and everything, and I faced several bouts of cancer since. I lost a lung over it. I lost some fingers over it. I scared me out of my wits. I didn't crack. I should have, but I didn't. But I lost my ability to believe that aliens are benevolent. I'm sure there are some races that are, but this particular moment in time, these were bad news indeed.
What happened the last 3 weeks?
In the last 3 weeks, I've been talking vigorously about these subjects and other subjects, and I've been shot at. I was shot up here, in here, over here, and in my leg. In fact, a small bullet hit my leg bone and did a wig, you know, did a snake, and I had my whole leg cut open to extract it. I was with a retired FBI agent whom I've recently become friends with. He says, you're not only being brave by doing this, you're being exceptionally so. But he and I were going to talk to a radio talk show down near Salem, Oregon, and these two vans of individuals came by, and they all had G10 license plates on them. And which I believe at that time I believed was either FBI or or some other form of government vehicle. Anyway, they passed us and shot on the right and both on the left, and kind of shot me up a little bit.
How many bullet holes in the car?
43.
Phil, you don't know this, but not that it's necessarily a big deal, but a G10 license plate just pulled up and came in, checked in 7 people into the hotel.
Well, good. Let them come and hear what I have to say. I'll give them an education.
Mike Russ has personally seen all his wounds here. Mike is one of our local members.
I picked him up.
Okay.
All right, I picked him up at the airport. And
Got to talk into it.
Hello? There. Is that better? All right, I picked him up at the airport, and we've been together basically somewhat off and on. The bullet holes are there. I've seen them all. The one on the leg is about like yay. I don't think he wants to drop his
gun,
but it is there. He has been shot, and the government is after him. And we've been just trying to move him around and take care of this guy the best. We've been trying to take care of him the best we can.
Right now I have a federal restraining order against such action. It means diddly squat. The feds can violate any time they wish. By the way, if somebody gives me a restraining order and I say boo to them, I go to jail for a year. Somewhere the law didn't meet my needs, and it surely is, giving them too much liberal consequences.
This is a problem that the clock keeps rolling, and time is up for Phil, but tomorrow he will go into a lot more time for those of you who can be here.
A lot more detail, too.
And you can see a lot of these things up close, and it's marked tomorrow afternoon. He's willing to share as much information as possible to let you know that from somebody who's been there and done that. It'll be video, audio. I don't know about video.
Mm-hmm.
What time?
It's tomorrow afternoon.
Tomorrow afternoon. I think it starts from
1:30.
1:30 to
1:30 to 4:30.
Will be my workshop.
Anyway, this is what he's done to be here.
Risk my life in being here.
Now that was then you were shot at twice in the last 3 weeks.
Actually, there's been more. There's been more than that. Within the last 4 months, 9 attempts on my life have taken place. And I'm still here. Evidently, it seemed like something like the cat with 9 lives, is it? I don't know.
Cat with 9 lives.
Can we have a short question and answer?
Well, no, we can't because we've...
Okay. Can I take two?
Yes. I mean, have you got a question about what they do with the dirt when they dig out all them 4 cubic miles?
Why?
We know that.
Well, the bases are being built basically to house alien involvement, research and development labs, other kinds of things like that. Right now, the military is involved in building biological weapons out of alien body byproducts. I'm not so certain, but I think AIDS and other kinds of diseases are too smart to be regular diseases. Regularly formed diseases have been formulated this way and tested out on an unwitting and unwilling populace. Once again, we've been led down the golden path, and once again, we've been lied to vigorously. And
it's
got to stop. If we value the freedom that we call these United States, this kind of activity has to come to a screeching halt, and we have to take back our government, to which we are entitled to do so.
Right.
If we don't do this, and we just become a bunch of sheep, then that's another story, I guess.
Thanks very much, Phil. We just have to go on. Let them. We'll be here. We'll be here.
Get down wired real quick, and then you can take care of the pictures.
Now.